Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Mid-Major Madness podcast. My name is Chris Schutte. I'm joined by three of my fellow editors and co-workers. Start with Russell, the managing editor. How are you doing, Russell?
Doing great, Chris.
How was your trip to Tennessee?
Tennessee was great. I really enjoyed it. Thompson Bowling Arena on the campus of University of Tennessee and Memorial Gym at Vanderbilt, both great venues. Highly recommend them both.
Is Vanderbilt just extremely weird to watch a game at?
It is the weirdest place I've ever watched basketball. Like, it, as weird as it looks on TV, it is weirder in person.
They have an elevated floor, right? And then it's so wide on the back.
They used to have a big, mean, bald guy who would roam one of the baselines. And
yeah, they got rid of him.
Yeah.
The court, I wouldn't really say it's elevated so much as the first couple of rows are just below the court.
Huh.
Which I guess is what elevated means. It just doesn't really look that way.
It's like the rest of it is sinking into the foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. And the benches are the weirdest thing on the baselines.
Oh yeah, that's the best.
Also joined by the dulcet tones of Cam Newton. Cam, how are you doing this evening?
I'm not great. We need to make clear we're recording this right after the AFC Championship game. So pretty sad about that, but I'm just happy to be back again after last time.
Yeah, Cam, I don't know if we should make that clear, seeing that this will probably be posted around the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and do our conference tournament preview today. And then last but not least, we are joined by Kyle Cajero up in Idaho. Idaho. Sorry. Kyle, yes, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Still up in witness protection up here. I've not left the apartment today. So as what people that live in Idaho do.
Did you get snow? I wasn't listening when you were talking about it earlier.
Oh yeah. It's been snowing quite a bit this week. And of course, like up here, everything sticks. So even if it doesn't snow, you get that great, like kind of 3-day old brown crust on the sides of the road and stuff.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
It's pretty picturesque.
There's no such thing as a clean car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My car is it has a white paint job and I do not paint. I don't plan on washing it for several months. So we'll see how this goes.
So I used to, back in high school, I used to work at a car wash, and like times like these when there's just nasty snow and salt everywhere are really the closest I've ever come to like just wanting to just quit a job on the spot. It was absolutely miserable.
Oh, I believe it. I can't blame you.
Anyways, we're gathered here to talk some basketball. I think what we're going to do tonight is, since it's kind of the halfway point of the season, probably a little bit over actually, we're going to do like some superlatives and awards. So let's start off with who has been everybody's breakout team of the year so far. Kyle, let's start with you.
Alrighty. So I'm going to talk about a team that has 9 freshmen on the roster, has a whopping 4 returners, is in the top 300 in KenPom.
And it
narrows it down. and is currently ahead in KenPom of the team that won the regular season conference this last year. I'm talking about none other than the Cal State Northridge Matadors. the expectations going into Mark Gottfried's first year were pretty low. Cal State Northridge has a gym that maybe fits 25 people if they put both bleachers down. They've been atrocious for years, won 6 games last year, only won 3 of those in conference. So, of course, anything would be better than last year's 6-22 season. But so far, they're 8-12 right now. They're tied for 6th in a very bad Big West. You might add that conference is just, it's not as fun as it was last year. There are 1.5 good teams. It's just going to be an absolute shit show in Anaheim. in the best and most entertaining way possible, of course. And the reason why I picked the Cal State Northridge Matadors is because they have probably one of the best players in the nation that you've never heard of, just in terms of statistics and what he's been averaging in Lamine Jene. He's a redshirt freshman. He is averaging 23.9 points per game, 11.3 rebounds per game, 2.4 blocks, and shooting 48% from the field. And here's where we're going to do that fun thing and see, you know, like, okay, who has posted these numbers before? And so I went on sportsreference.com. I plugged in players that have averaged 20 points, 10 rebounds, and have shot 48% or better from the field. And Lamine Jene's season right now ranks 10th among the 59 occurrences of this happening since 1992. Some notable players that his freshman season is ahead of right now. He's scored more points, averaged more points than Blake Griffin in his final season at Oklahoma. He's doing better than Tyler Hansborough as a junior. Jock Landale is a junior. Tim Duncan's senior year at Wake Forest. And the sole seasons of DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley. Like, the numbers that he's putting up per game have been absurd. Now, of course, he's a great player trapped on an awful team. The Matadors do not care about defense. they play pretty quick. Their offense is okay. But the reason why I picked them for my breakout candidate of the year is not only just because of how low the expectations were, but it's a wide open year for the Big West. And, you know, that crazier things have happened in Anaheim. You know, of the nine members, I think they've had six different winners over the past 6 years, which is just insane amounts of parity when everyone steps into the Honda Center. And, you know, give this Cal State Northridge team a favorable draw, and have the usual craziness happen, and we could see them in the tournament. You know, they have a lot of fun pieces aside from Jene. They got a 5'8 point guard named Terrell Gomez, he's the reigning Big West Freshman of the Year, absolute cannonball at 5'8, super fast. He is the best 3-point shooter in the conference right now. And then you flank him alongside Darius Brown II, who is also a freshman, averaging 5.3 assists per game. That's good for second. And this is a really interesting, fun, bad team. And that's why I chose them.
Always good to choose a bad team as your breakout.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we love to see it.
To be fair, I did the same thing. Because the way it was phrased to me was most, like, biggest surprise. And so I took that as a similar route, I think.
Well, who's your team then?
Oh, Western Kentucky.
Ha!
That is a big surprise.
Yeah. We had them, like, ranked, what, preseason? I think 18th in our other top 20, or 11th, rather.
I was going to say, they had to have been higher than that.
Yeah, they were 11th in our other top 25 poll. I mean, they made it pretty far in the NIT last year, if I remember correctly. Did they end up making it? I don't think they made it to the semifinals.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I mean, they won like 27 games last year or something like that. They bring in Charles Bassey. They have plenty of good returning guys like Kavion Hollingsworth, Lamonte Bearden, et cetera. Stansberry, as good of a recruiter he is, he obviously is still a pretty good coach at some level. And I don't think anybody expected them to just be as terrible as they are, and especially in, like, the way that they're terrible. Because, like, and they've racked up plenty of losses. Like, right now they sit at 9-9. But the teams that they've beaten are some of, like, the highest-rated teams in KenPom. I mean, they've got tons of top 100 KenPom wins. They beat Wisconsin, which just took down Michigan. They beat St. Mary's, which KenPom is really high on. You know, they're sitting at, like, 34th right now. They beat West Virginia and Arkansas, which those teams, granted, aren't looking so hot at the moment. West Virginia did just beat Kansas, though. But those are still top 100 wins, nevertheless. But then they've just dropped some games to just some absolute stinkers, like Missouri State. They've blown, like, right before they won the other night against FAU, they blew, like, three double-digit leads in a row. Against some teams that they simply, like, needed to win if they wanted to win the regular season title in in Conference USA. So they've been pretty surprising, because I think everybody kind of assumed that this season it would be them competing with Marshall for that Conference USA title. And instead they just stumbled right out of the gate and have just looked pretty pathetic.
Yeah, I think we would all agree that they're, if not the biggest, one of the biggest disappointments of the season. And Conference USA has just been kind of weird,
yeah,
as a whole this year compared to what we were expecting in the preseason. Russ, who did you have as your breakout or surprise team?
Well, I'm glad you went to me next, because I'm like 83% sure we picked the same team. And I will talk for a minute while you scramble to find someone else, I guess, because I picked the Bowling Green Falcons.
Oh, I didn't pick them, but I was considering it.
Oh, great. So I guess we all have talked about Bowling Green a little bit in the last couple of weeks, as it has become apparent that this team is actually kind of good. Got off to a rough start. They were 4-5 on December the 5th when they lost at Cleveland State, back-to-back really bad losses for them, but they have not lost since. They are 5-0 in the MAC, and that includes win at home against Ohio, win on the road at Central Michigan, and a win at home against KenPom number 80 Ball State. So 13-5 overall. They have a couple of guys who probably are overshadowed a little bit in that conference, because I think you're going to be overshadowed unless you play for Buffalo. Biggest name, of course, is Justin Turner, averaging 19.3 a game, shooting right around 50% from the field, shooting 37% from three. Inside you have, and if I have the pronunciation wrong, please correct me, but DiMaggio Wiggins, 13.1 points, 12 rebounds a game. They got some guys, and I think we're all kind of looking forward to February the 1st when they host Buffalo. That'll be a home game in just a couple of weeks, and I think at that point we'll find out if they really are, at the same level as a team that looks like a lock to go to the NCAA tournament no matter what happens.
Yeah, I think I made it a point to tweet about them a couple times recently, just because, like you said, they're off to a 5-0 start in the MAC. And, you know, the MAC's been pretty heavy in terms of coverage, just because Buffalo is such a nationally relevant story this year. It's kind of hard to give attention to a team like Bowling Green that, although they're not expected to win the conference, is still – having a really good year so far for a program that hasn't really had a good one in, you know, a couple of years.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time they were good?
Oh my God. I'd have to look up their history.
I don't think they've made a tournament.
It was pre-Dan Dokic.
Like, I don't think they've been in – it's been decades, at least, since they've been in the tournament.
Which is surprising, because they have some names on their list of coaches, other than Doc Danich. I mean, Louis Orr was their coach. Chris Jans was their coach.
Larinaga was there in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says 1968 was the last time they made the NCAA tournament. So, 40 years. No, 50, is that 50? Yeah, 50 years.
Mm-hmm, it's 50.
Good at math, guys. Don't worry.
Hey, that'd be cool if somehow it worked out where they played Dartmouth in the NCAA tournament.
Dartmouth talk again on the podcast.
Yeah, we got to get a Dartmouth shout out on every podcast. It's in our contract.
They still haven't followed us on Instagram, so we're kind of working on that.
Big Green are canceled.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to shout out our sponsors, Grand Canyon University, right now. For a top 100 university in the great state of Arizona. Think about that.
All right, so, Russ, I did not actually pick Bowling Green.
I'm really surprised. I thought you would.
They were one of the ones I was considering, but my pick is going to be Utah State out of the Mountain West.
Oh, good. Cam hates them.
I do. I think.
Why do you hate the Aggies?
Dude, I think they're fake good. I don't understand why KenPom's so high on them. I really don't.
It's because Craig Smith is a wizard.
I just don't get it. And I don't think they've beaten anybody good.
They beat St. Mary's on a neutral.
I don't care.
Beat Irvine on the road.
Very good. UC Irvine, yeah.
Irvine kind of sucks, don't they?
Yeah, they suck. They beat Texas A&M.
God.
They only play half like the game of basketball really well. Like they'll bludgeon you on defense and rebound the hell out of you. And then when offense rolls around, they're just like, well, yeah.
It would be impossible to change my mind about Utah State.
Anyways, they're in Craig Smith's first year after he was at South Dakota. 14-5 on the year. They're ranked number 42 in KenPom. They've got a freshman. I'm going to butcher this guy's pronunciation. Nemius Keita. I know for a fact I didn't get that right. He's averaging 11-8 on the year, 2.5 blocks a game. They got a really good guard in Sam Merrill, who's one of the better shooters in the Mountain West. And you know, a lot of us have been talking about how the Mountain West seems like a one bid league, and I think that's probably still the case right now. But
you got to get 68 teams from somewhere.
Yeah, it was,
like, it's not going to be from the Pac-12. So
no, God no,
there are openings.
Please, you're a big Pac-12. I beg of you.
I mean, you just look at like from Nevada's point of view. You look at games against Utah State as one of your, you know, few opportunities for a win that's really gonna move the needle. And I think Craig Smith's one of the best young coaches in the game. He had a couple of really good years at South Dakota before getting this job at Utah State. And I don't think this is the year that they're gonna quite break through, but I think that he's getting them in a really good spot to be good for years to come.
How many like top 200 wins does Utah State have?
One, two, three. Three. Not bad.
Well, and also the fact that they've been able to be this good without Kobe McEwen,
right?
The Marquette. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just remember looking at Utah State in the preseason and kind of leaving them dead in the water with McEwen gone, and Merrill was kind of like, you know, he's good, but I was like, well, without both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their roster, it's a lot of, you know, freshmen, sophomores, a couple juniors. They've got a couple upperclassmen, but you look up and down the roster, and it's a pretty, pretty young one. So I think they're in a good spot.
Well, they will continue to sit in the 20 to 25 range in my poll for all coming time.
Do we have any other thoughts on breakout teams of the year or surprises? Hey,
can I give you a controversial Mountain West take for you to all debate?
Of course.
Nevada's been kind of fake good.
I put them below Buffalo this week.
Yeah,
it's, you know, it was cute for a while. The slow starts, the kind of close calls. It's gotten a little concerning as Mountain West play has heated up. I mean, we know that they got it handed to them against New Mexico.
Should have lost to Boise State.
A bad Boise State team.
They were down at the half last night, too, against the Air Force.
Like, they really struggled in that one. And, like, I mean, make no mistake, like, by fake good, I'm talking relatively. Like, they're still absolutely, at worst, the third best team that we cover. but they do not look like the national championship contenders that we thought they would be. And they certainly have the personnel to be a whole lot better than they've been.
Can I give a counterpoint?
Yes.
Nevada is right where they want to be. You know,
in the Mountain West, yes.
Or yes, in the Mountain West and just like at large. Like if they go into the tournament as like a 6 seed, a 7 seed, people are going to be like, oh yeah, Nevada, the fake good team that couldn't put it together in Mountain West play. And then they start pulling some upsets, and then they make a run. I mean, I don't know. I put like 30 seconds of thought into that, so that's all I'm going to give it. But
That's where I stand.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, say they end up...
hope, like, San Jose State gets the auto bid or something like that.
But, like, say Nevada does what they should do, and they maybe give them one more loss the rest of the season until the NCAA tournament. And they go in as a 2 or a 3 seed, win that first game easily because it'll be against a bad team. And then they get an at-large team from a power conference that has had to scratch and claw their way into the tournament. It would make me a little nervous to see them against, you know, Virginia Tech in the second round.
10 seed Indiana.
Syracuse.
Yeah. Arizona.
Well, if it's Syracuse, like, that's a loss. Look, Syracuse, a bad Syracuse team goes to the Elite Eight. That's how it
works. Jim Boeheim just pisses his pants. Eric Musselman takes the UCLA job the night before. And
oh, Lord.
Nevada just doesn't have anybody on that team that can shoot other than Jazz Johnson.
And even he's slumping right now. Like,
I've been waiting for that Jazz Johnson story.
I know. I'm sorry. I have all the clips. I just need the words. And then, of course, like, I check up on all the stats tonight. And they've all slipped. So I'm just like, well, gotta create a new narrative around it. But yeah, I mean, this is kind of bad radio, but I've been talking to the editorial staff for a while. I've really wanted to do an article about Jazz Johnson, just like breaking down the film and, you know, seeing what makes him so special on a team that, you know, is absolutely loaded. And I finally got around to doing that after weeks and weeks and weeks of saying that I was going to do it. And then, yes, we are still waiting.
This is what you get. This is what you get for trying to write insightful things. Just write just stupid stuff about how inanimate objects are like conference teams. That's what the people love.
Yeah, the people love the Yankee Candle stuff. I think I put this in Slack after that article went up. My friend texted me a screenshot of her Facebook feed with that article with why did you ever approve this?
I mean, that's pretty much the editorial process is like, I will come up with something that I want to write. I will not get around to it for another couple of weeks. And by the time I get around to writing it, like the point I wanted to make is like come and gone by then. It's like, there's no point in even writing it at that point.
Yeah. It's important to remember that we all have lives and that we're all busy. And 3 out of the 4 of us have a full-time job. The fourth of us is finishing up undergrad.
Yes.
So I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's also important to remember we all spend our time just posting all day. So
yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with full-time jobs or classes. It's we post too often.
We just sit and watch the Big Brother live feeds, too.
That is what I will be doing for the next 3 weeks. I was so excited when they gave us that 15-minute preview the other day. I just watched Ryan Lochte play pool. It was amazing. And Tom Green was cooking.
That's gross. Tom Green's actually probably going to do some really gross-out stuff this season.
I don't know how long he's going to last, though.
He was on Celebrity Apprentice a few years ago. And he was
wasn't he bad?
Yeah, he was terrible. He was like the second one fired.
Anyways, let's move on. Let's do player of the year. Does anybody have someone that isn't Ja Morant?
Just for the sake of just diversity, because I think a diversity of opinions, because I figured everybody was going to pick Ja Morant, which
because
I mean,
that's the right answer.
Yeah, I mean, I would pick Ja Morant too. Like, he's absolutely the player of the year. I mean, like, Mike Dom maybe is the classic answer for all.
He's been like quietly. Like better than he has been. Like,
yeah, he's improved his offensive efficiency. His 3-point numbers have gone a little bit down, but it's not like he ever took a ton of those outside shots anyway. But
his scoring's still up, and his rebounding's up. So.
Yeah, he's become a much better rebounder. I mean, you could make a case for him, but I mean, still, Ja Morant's better.
Yeah, I don't feel like I need to sit here and like make the case for Ja Morant because. Yeah. We all agree. However, I think it's important to look at it from the angle of we cover college basketball teams that don't get a whole lot of attention nationally. And Ja Morant has taken his team and put it into the national spotlight, like there's, almost on a nightly basis.
There's been a big run on Ja Morant content in the last couple weeks.
Yes, there's been a lot. And he's gotten his team onto SportsCenter with his ridiculous dunks.
He follows me on Twitter.
Yeah, well, that's important too. He's had some ridiculous, like, overall performances. He has catapulted himself into a potential lottery pick in the NBA draft. Like, this is stuff that does not happen to a Murray State team. It just doesn't. And I think it's important to look at it from the angle of what he's done for our section of the sport.
I mean, I don't remember how much buzz there was around, like, Isaiah Cannon and whatnot the year that Murray State went deep into February as an undefeated team. I think it was like 2011, 2012. I don't remember how much that was. But it's just very funny how much of a cycle it seems to be, where Murray State always seems to have some incredible pipeline for getting these really talented guards who are able to do stuff like this. And Ja Morant still seems to be the best one yet. I mean, we had just had like a stretch of Isaiah Cannon and then Campaign and then Jonathan Starks. And then now we get Ja Morant, who's exceeding all of them. It's pretty fascinating how they're able to just maintain that level of success.
Are we remembering some racers?
Well, we already mentioned Mark Gottfried earlier.
Yeah. Steve Prohm.
Having
a good year at Iowa State.
Well, we mentioned Texas A&M, Billy Kennedy. Andy Kennedy's the Ole Miss guy, my bad.
Yeah.
The bald one.
He's a ESPN commentator now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, Mick Cronin, former Murray State.
Great. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, here's a fun question. In 5 years, where is Matt McMahon coaching?
Kentucky.
Give me, like,
I mean it.
About Nebraska. Nebraska's
a good candidate.
Dude, if Cal walked away right now, I don't know who they would hire.
Brad Stevens.
The good news is Cal's not walking away.
I don't know how long. Well, we probably shouldn't debate this on this podcast.
Well, I want to hear what you have to say. This is for basketball fans.
I don't know. He said originally that he would probably only coach like a few more years after
that. And it was full of shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe it, because, like, I had this debate with my friend the other day, because he's like, oh, I don't give him, like, he's like, you think Cal will still be here like 10 or however many? I think he said like 7 years from now. I was like, absolutely. He's not even that old.
He's not that old. He is better at what he does than anybody else in the country. And I think he's the kind of guy that, as long as he is on top of his game like that, like, he has no reason to do anything else.
Yeah,
he's going to retire and disappear.
Yeah, and he's so beloved by, like, this fan base at the moment. And he's probably the only guy I can think of who can handle, like, this fan base in the way that he does.
And another thing is that the part of the fan base, and I know it's a really small part, but the part of the fan base that gets on him for only having one championship, which is, like, that feels stupid coming out of my mouth, but it exists.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's going to want to stay around to win another one, and it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah. I can't ever fault him for not having enough championships, because winning titles is such an incredible, like, crapshoot in college basketball. It takes, like, so much luck, and it doesn't matter, like, how good your – I mean, obviously your teams have to be good to an extent, but, like, there's so much luck that comes together and is involved in winning, like, six games in a row in March in that fashion.
Right. The better measure is how often you could get, like, a number one or a number two seed, and he does that most of the time.
Yeah. But there ends that.
But even when they're underseeded, they're, like, really dangerous too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, their 8 seed that went to the championship game.
They always find a way.
Like, everyone knew they were an 8 seed that year.
Right. But, you know, like, they were clearly not a 1 or a 2 seed.
Last year was a little disappointing, just because of the fact that the way things played out in their region. Mm-hmm. Everybody was pretty pissed off, because conceivably, like, that Kentucky team should have made the Final Four, like, absolutely. I know, speaking as for me, we were talking about how crazy it is that people are upset that he doesn't win more. Just from my point of view as like a student here, it has kind of sucked. Like in my 4 years, they haven't made even like a Final Four.
Oh no.
And thanks, yeah, it's a criminy. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy right here.
Man, yeah. I was thrilled when Pepperdine made the CBI.
Yeah, what was campus like when the CBI was happening? Must have been buzz.
Well, the game was at Eastern Washington, so most people didn't know that it was happening. But the few that did, we were pretty upset.
Imagine making the postseason.
Could not be one of my teams.
Absolutely not. All right. Anybody else other than John Morant? We can kind of segue this into our All-Americans or whatever you want to call them for the halfway point.
I mean, call me like overcommitted to the bit, but I was going to say Jordan Caroline as as my player of the year. He's a better rebounder than he is this year. He's got 11 double-doubles on the season, nearly averages one a game. He's the most constant force on both ends of the floor for that Nevada team that, you know, we talked about, like, their effort and their, you know, performance kind of comes and goes, but he's the one constant. And I think that he really benefited from coming back for a senior year.
Yeah. Like he's shooting the ball pretty well, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's a better shooter this year. He looks more fluid on the court. Casual viewers will remember him for, like, you know, being just this absolute bull in a china shop, middle linebacker, kind of like bowling his way into the lane and flipping up some like ridiculous layup and contact. But he looks more confident on the floor, moves a lot better, which in turn like makes him a better rebounder, better at getting contact and drawing fouls. But yeah, he's still my pick right now, just because I admittedly have not watched as much Ja Morant as y'all have.
Us Midwestern folk.
I mean, that one's on me. I'm not gonna blame that on anyone.
Well, I have a question though.
Yes.
If remember last year we did like the fantasy draft of mid major guys.
Oh yeah.
We had Matt Craig on.
Yeah.
Where would Ja Morant fall on that? Because I don't think he would be the number one pick, even if he is the player of the year.
Well, it would depend on the league's scoring rules and how it's
and I ask this because I have the page of somebody else up who I really like. Not saying he'd be my number one pick, but someone who I think is definitely an All-American and has elevated his team into the spotlight in a way that Morant has almost as well.
Russ, I guess.
What?
Is it Brandon Clark?
No, it's not. But that's a good one. It's CJ Massenburg.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wait, was that like for a potential player of the year guy too?
Someone to discuss as an All American. Like my player of the year is Ja Morant, and there's really no close second. But I think Massenburg, I think Jordan Caroline, and a few other guys as well deserve the attention. In this discussion, if we're just talking all Americans.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically like my list. I did Morant, Massenburg, Caroline, Dom, and Brandon Clark.
Hey, what about Justin Wright Foreman?
He's on mine.
Yep.
I've got Justin Wright Foreman, Ja, Brandon Clark, Mike Dom, and then I was going back and forth between Caroline and Massenburg for the last spot. I ultimately went with Caroline.
Yeah, I mean, Hofstra's look good, and, like, Foreman.
Hofstra is on fire.
Yep. Yeah.
And the Colonial.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, they're 7-0. They've now won, 14 straight?
And the Colonial is terrible. I could envision them winning a lot more, too. I mean, they looked really good against Charleston the other night, who, if you remember the last podcast, I was still hyping up Charleston, and I would like to apologize for that.
Hey, speaking of the Colonial, you know who's back? Vasa.
Is he back?
He's back. Back-to-back 21-point performances.
Oh, hell yeah.
Northeastern has won 4 in a row. He has not missed a free throw in that streak. I don't know. He's really good.
Husky's coming.
Husky's coming. They beat back-to-back Charleston and Wilmington. They're pretty good.
Kyle, did you? Who was your five for your?
I had Morant. I had Chris Clemens as well.
Oh yeah.
Jordan Caroline. I had Rui Hachimura and Brandon Clark to round out my top five, just because I feel like both of them really complement each other well on both ends of the floor.
Mm-hmm. Chris, Burke is sitting out this year, right, at IUPUI?
Yeah.
All right, that's why we haven't heard from him. Look for next year for the Marcus Burke bandwagon. We will be driving it, I'm sure.
Buddy. Cam Justice and Marcus Burke, we are going to be letting threes fly. Is Clemens still leading the nation in scoring? I haven't checked the...
Yes, he is. Hold on.
Is Davis still second?
Yeah. And then Wright Foreman.
I think I'm going to try to see...
Oh, Wright Foreman is second. Yeah, he's at 523 now.
Yeah, IUPUI plays Detroit next week, so I think I'm going to, on Saturday, so I'm going to try to see.
Oh, good. They say hi to the rest ID. He's good to us.
Do you have anything else we want to hit on before we call tonight? It's getting to be the witching hour here on the East Coast.
How many minutes have we gone?
The thing I was going to say is that Ja Morant, as good as he is, might not even still make the NCAA tournament, which would be pretty disappointing.
Gamecocks, baby.
Yeah, Jacksonville State. Like, I am standing by my preseason pick of Jacksonville State to win the league. They play Murray State pretty soon, and it's a home game for Jacksonville State. That's one reason I also said that they still have a good chance to win the league. It's just because they play Murray State once. It's at home. They've already knocked out Belmont twice. I mean, if they win that game, they clearly, I think, will win the league. And it's just going to be a great, like, talent versus experience matchup. Talent on Murray State's side. And some talented, experienced players on Jacksonville State's side who play phenomenal defense. Just absolutely made Belmont look discombobulated the past two times they've met. So it's going to be, like, really fascinating to see how that turns out. And – I mean, maybe Murray State doesn't want to make the NCAA tournament because then they can just win the NIT.
Hey, while we're on the topic of the OVC, we should also give a shout out to Nick Mayo, who should also be under consideration for All-American honors.
I was going to put him on there, but I figured...
He's on a bad team, which hurts him.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because he, in terms of like KenPom's thing, he wins like that MVP award.
All the time.
He's in like sixth place. Yeah, he's already got six of them, like, for his team. He's outstanding, and I'm really kicking myself for not having gone to any EKU game since he's been there, and I have to catch some before he graduates.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to. He's a senior, so hurry it up.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the hidden Mike Dom.
Mike Dom, but for people in the South.
Yeah, you've never heard of him before, yeah. Just like Mike Dom.
Mike Dom, but in a less high-profile place in South Dakota.
Yeah. So the furthest west I've, or the furthest east I've gone is Texas, so I have no idea about either of these guys.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not. I'm not serious.
I was going to say, holy cow.
I mean, I've never been – I've only been to one place, one city west of the Mississippi River, and it's Seattle.
Hey, until 2013, so until the year after I graduated from college, the furthest west I had been is Pennsylvania State University. Oof. But now I've been everywhere, so it's fine.
All right, that'll do it for the Mid-Major Madness podcast. For everyone here in the chat, Kyle, Cam, and Russ, thank you for listening. Don't forget to do all the fun stuff that every podcast asks you to do. Subscribe, like, comment, tell your friends, coworkers, dog, mom, girlfriend, whoever. And we'll catch you next time. See you.